Tides and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tides and Mights podcast. Tides and
it's my Count Danielle talking wrestling because it's tights and fights.
Thanks, Mike, for the idea.
You get those emo eyes really well.
Anytime, yeah, for real. It instantly there was eyeliner on his face. It wasn't there before. Yeah, it was incredible.
His bangs grew 3 inches that day.
A lot of people don't realize I'm a championship squinter. Very good at it. It's self-preservation. It's instinct.
That sounds like a euphemism a little bit.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the president of Haller Club, Hal Lublin.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Just you wait. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the ninth wonder of the wig, Danielle Radford.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's the best thing that's ever. Oh, God. I can't. That's great.
Oh, man.
And the ticking rhyme bomb.
Ho ho.
Mike Eagle.
Ho ho. I am ticking. I think it's just gas, but I am ticking. It's happening.
Keep it internal, pal.
No, I'm trying to let them detonate inside of me, you know, just for the sake of the room.
That's very polite of you.
I think so.
Every once in a while, your stomach just goes.
Yeah, no. It doesn't even go back in. It just stays out. That's what it is. It's all old gas.
When we're done, we'll roll you out of here and get you to the de-juicer. It's no problem.
Okay, it's good.
Open Mike Eagle has died of dysentery.
Trying to ford the river, man. Just trying to ford the river. That's all.
The thanks go out to Gabriella and Patrick for suggesting those names.
There you go. Gabriella and Patrick, thank you very much. For those of you in the Facebook group, you can suggest names and Julian will curate them. It'll give him a little bit extra time to chill out, but he still enjoys making the names. We're not trying to take this away from you, Julian. I know it's a joy in your life, is what I'm saying. But we've got a ton of things to talk about this week, from the new champions on both Raw and SmackDown to the changes to Survivor Series. But first, what could be the biggest match of 2018 has already been announced. IWGP US champion Kenny Omega was looking for a new challenger for Wrestle Kingdom 12. Let's hear him call out the wrestling world and who decided to answer.
This is when whoever challenges me comes out and introduces themselves. So I welcome you. Please come out and introduce yourself.
My God!
What the hell?
That's Chris Jericho!
Chris Jericho!
It's Chris Jericho!
I'm challenging you, Kenny.
Kevin Kelly's the worst.
What?
Jericho versus Kenny.
What?
Oh, you missed it. They cut out one of them. What is he doing here?
That's got to be Kane. That's got to be Kane.
almost like a TNA style. Like, what is Jericho Chris doing here? What is Chris Jerry Curl doing here?
Look, I'll bite. Fine. You got me to do it. I'll watch Wrestle Kingdom 12, okay? For goodness sakes, somebody out there who's booking really wants Hal Lublin.
Badly.
What kind of match is it going to be with Jericho? Jericho's not an Okada. He can still put on a great match with anybody, but how does that change for this? Is he going to work more of a Japanese style? Are they going to have more of a Chris Jericho now match?
Well, he already works a style that's very friendly for New Japan.
Right.
And I think that with very few modifications, he'll be able to do that. Look, Jericho loves wrestling. He loves this business. There ain't no way in hell that he hasn't already been training for this since before the announcement came and will be training until January. Chris Jericho is doing everything he can right now, I guarantee it, to get back into fighting shape. They ain't been a Fozzy email in like 3 days. Mm-hmm. I do believe that obviously he puts the younger dude over. I think that that's what happens. I think that Kenny Omega still goes over.
Oh my God, if he went over Kenny Omega, that'd be the craziest shit
that
ever happened.
For years.
That'd be insane.
You guys would find me in like 2020 and you'd be like, what you laughing about? Remember that time that Chris Jericho went over Kenny Omega?
Here's the thing though. I was watching that and thinking, okay, there are two things went through my head. Number one, it's clear that everything Jericho says in an interview where he says his deals are essentially month to month, and when they're up, they're up. That's 100% true.
Yeah, no non-compete clause.
And two, this is sort of a sign. They've started recognizing Japanese titles on WWE more. There's obviously a little bit more of a relationship there. So, Mike, my question to you is, does this match have any bearing on Jericho being able to come back to WWE anytime he wants?
You know,
does it feel like something he gets Vince's okay on?
Logically, one would say yes, but Vince McMahon is one of the pettier humans to ever walk the earth.
Right.
So I'm honestly not sure, and I'm not sure Jericho cares enough to make sure it's okay with the old man before he decides to take this opportunity. And they've been sowing seeds for this for weeks. And, you know, according to my not very hard internet snooping, WWE learned about this at that show when everybody else did.
Oh, wow.
So I think he's definitely taking a gamble doing it. I can't say for sure if I feel like Vince McMahon is, like, okay with him going to work a shot for his nearest international competition.
I hear that. At the same time, Jericho seems like one of those guys who, I mean, what, almost 18 years with WWE on and off, that he's got a relationship where he can go do that and then come back. Because Vince McMahon will never let pettiness get in the way of making money.
Never. Not a single day.
I disagree. I think that for a short time he will allow pettiness to get in the way of making money.
But not
long
term.
And not long term. Eventually he will come to his senses.
Okay. So that was the biggest announcement of the week. However, wrestling's biggest event of the week happened on SmackDown. Fuck.
AJ Styles. Phenomenal hit. He hit it. AJ Styles. Cover. Styles has done it again.
Must be nice to live in Manchester.
Yeah.
Where nice things happen to you at the wrestling shows.
Mean.
Now, let me say, right off of the bat, I am a very big AJ Styles fan. I have no problem with him being the champion. However, WWE, you cowards.
Ooh, tell them how you feel.
How dare you.
Ooh.
Not pull the trigger on Jinder Mahal, because we all know what's going to happen here. We all know AJ goes and takes the whipping because it doesn't hurt him. And then Jinder wins the title back for the India tour.
Oh, no, no.
Only to give it up again.
Oh,
he's going to India with
that. No, that's exactly what. I think they're going to do the chase in India. I think they're. If they always say there's money in the chase.
I think if you bring him,
yes.
Oh, my God. If they do the switchback, I will be upset.
Oh, no, that's what's happening.
You can see it.
You need to get ready.
You can see it. It's going to happen.
I will be very surprised if that's not how it. I'll put it that way. I will be very surprised because it does feel like you have him chase the title while he's in India, build him up, and then when he wins, that's like the hugest moment in his career ever, because so many people gonna clap, and his mama gonna cry, and it's gonna be great.
I'm really fixated right now on AJ versus Brock and how not excited for it I am.
Oh, I'm ready. My body's ready.
You think so?
Everybody's ready for.
I really want it to be. It won't be. Look, it's not going to be this, but I want it to be like a David versus Goliath, where like, I mean, eventually AJ is going to fucking do the job, but there's nothing on the line for this, so you can actually make it where AJ is just too small and nimble and fast, and he keeps, you know, the big giant tries to grab him and he slips from underneath his stuff.
For a little bit, I think, but that's not going to... I don't think that's the larger narrative of the match. I can't imagine that actually be... It's a great narrative. I can't imagine that being the narrative.
I can't imagine it not being a fantastic match, though. I just cannot imagine that AJ's going to go out there and give us a stinker. Like, he has worked with everybody on this roster and pulled a great match out of Jinder.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled a great match out of Jinder.
He did.
I refuse to believe that this is going to be a bad match.
I don't think it will be bad either. I really like the Samoa Joe Brock match. Is even though Smart Money says they never even consider taking the belt off of Brock, that you actually believed he could be beaten. And even the way the match went, I don't like how it finished. Although it made sense logically that it was like a desperation move while he was in the coquina clutch. That match, More so than the one with Braun, and even the four-way where he didn't have to be pinned, you had the sense of, like, he could lose.
Right.
There is no way I believe he can. Like, it's hard to even suspend my disbelief as a wrestling fan and say they're going to give AJ the win here. I just don't see it. AJ's going to carry him to a great match or bring him to a great match. They'll figure out how to do it. Brock can wrestle.
Mike has this. I'm sorry. I have to explain this. Mike is doing the same thing with his body language that I do when I see a puppy or a baby, mm-hmm. where it's just like his hands are over his heart and his like eyes are up and all big. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Tell me what you're feeling right now.
I am. Oh, I'm nearly sexually excited at the possibility that they put AJ over Brock. Just the thought that they could possibly put AJ over Brock. Because I think if they do that, it makes AJ like forever. Like it makes AJ for life.
Right. At like it would have made Braun and it would have made Joe.
Yeah.
I do have one question before we get to the wrap the segment up. How much are y'all going to laugh when he tries to get into the Styles Clash?
No, that can't happen. It looked like they tried to do that with Jinder, and they had to turn it into like a failed powerbomb attempt because Jinder's mullet was too tall, and it was scraping the mat while he was trying to pick him up. So there's just no
like
way.
Because they ain't going to get it, but as soon as you see him even try, I'm going to be on the floor. That's another one. I'm going to be laughing for 2022. And Danielle, why are you laughing? Remember that time when... they pretended like AJ was going to get Brock into the Styles Clash.
It would look like somebody trying to move a memory foam mattress by themselves. Not happening.
Oh my God.
Let's go over to the main event of Raw, where Sheamus and Cesaro defeated Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins for the Raw Tag Championships. Well, shit. I have more opinions.
Hell yes! Come on.
First of
all.
Did
you say hell yes?
Yes, I said hell yes.
I get it.
Give them hell.
I get that feeding the New Day to the Shield is a much bigger win for them than the Shield beating the Usos. But it also feels like disrespect to the Usos to have them wrestle the Bar, even though I love the Bar. It just feels like they're like, well, this isn't as important. This is the real match here. And it means they have Roman back. I think if Roman was still going to be out, that they would have kept that tag match as is. I mean, I'm excited for the match. It's weird. Like, I have nothing against the match. I'm happy to see all four of those guys work. Super happy. But I also feel like the title changes have little to do with who has the title and everything to do with the match that those titles are booked in for Survivor Series.
That
bothers me.
That being said, and that is a very valid point because, this isn't like suddenly them believing in the Bar more than they did last week.
Right.
This was in service of the next match. But I do like the way they did it. I like the New Day fake Under Siege invasion and the confusion and the bell not having room. Like, I think that's a creative way to do that.
It is 3-on-3 now.
Right.
And I really am starting to get a place in my heart for the Bar. I like them and all the little weird Dragon Ball and Taxi Driver things that they do. I like all of those things.
Oh my God.
And I think that part of the problem was too that I feel like on SmackDown they are heating up the Usos and the Shield is hot, and I felt like that match they had a hard time figuring out who should go over in.
Right.
So
especially because Roman's been gone.
Right.
So whereas before, because the Usos need it. Right. And before, you could have them do some trickery or do some chicanery or whatever, and it would be believable, except that Roman's been gone. So the big Shield moment that we were supposed to get has been replaced with literally anyone backstage. They're just like,
anybody back here fit this vest? need somebody to wear this vest. Brooklyn Brawl, are you around? Can you fit the vest?
Oh, shit. Yeah, look, those are all good points. It bothers me as a SmackDown, somebody's a little bit more of a SmackDown fan than a Raw fan.
A little bit more?
That it feels
a little bit more,
just
my
a
dude.
Tad. Just a tad. It feels disrespectful to the Usos. It feels disrespectful to the Usos that they're not facing the Shield.
But also, I feel like the Bar is the Bar.
Right.
The Usos are the Usos. The Usos are still, they're dominant, they're awesome. They need a big win like this to really cement the Uso Penitentiary.
Yes.
And I feel like the Bar can't eat this. They can eat this loss.
All right, speaking of Survivor Series, Jason Jordan will round out Raw's team at the show. What is it going to take to get this kid over? He can wrestle, he's got the look. But is he just a charisma vacuum, or have they not figured out how to use what he has?
Well, I would say, and not to interrupt, but
please.
They got everyone's attention on him with a really hot angle, even if it was a poor payoff to a really hot angle. Oh yeah, I guess I did that. I guess I did that. I did that. I didn't even mean to do that.
It was
that.
Great though.
But after that, after everybody's eyes are on him, they had nothing else for him. And I feel like he's been languishing in that and having everyone's attention and no clear way forward. And I guess they're just like, go out there and get over, kid. But how? Just having matches? That's all everybody does. Like, he has to be involved in something, you know?
But you have to, if you have good matches, I think.
Well, I don't think he's had bad matches.
I don't think so either. I just think it's a good point. Like, there's no character there outside of you came from Kurt Angle's penis. Like, that is the defining thing of his character. You were an amateur wrestler and you shot out of Angle's sack.
Well, yeah.
It's like, you know, when you get to the end piece of some just like basic ass white bread and you're like.
And you put peanut butter all over it and eat it and it's delicious?
Yes, that is an option. But then also, I know it's good for me. I know the wrestling is good. Sometimes I'll eat around it because potatoes are better or whatever, you know?
Sure.
And that's not his fault. It has to be, like, they have to put him in something. He can't just be Black Kurt Angle.
For real.
All right, let's talk about the match between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. All right, the crowd was on board with both of them, and it looks like this is the feud. You know, like a good Survivor Series match, there's always trouble within the teams. And these are the two guys that should not be in a team together that will be. I will say I'm more excited to see him in a feud with Samoa Joe than I am to see him in a feud with anybody else. And now looks like Bray Wyatt is kind of off the table for now because of mumps or whatever. Are you excited for a long-term feud with these two?
I mean, yeah, it was great. It's great every time they do a version of this. I'm super into it. Samoa Joe and Finn Balor is just, they're both good. They're both workers and they work together. Like, they have amazing chemistry. I would love if this became a long thing and not just like a one shot to serve the Survivor Series story.
Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Since we have seen it before, there's a part of me who feels like maybe we've seen enough of it. And I would like to see the Finn that we saw Monday in a program with somebody else that's meaningful and pushing him up the card. And I would like to see Joe stay in or around the title picture. So I don't want them to be in like a placeholder feud with each other.
Right.
That extends for some, you know, super long amount of time. I do think they work well together. I just want to see something better for both of them, either, you know, shortly after this or subsequently.
Right. There's no stakes yet.
Right.
And I want
those are two guys who I feel like are complete packages in their own way. And I want them, you know, I want their matches to mean something. I want their storylines to mean something and not just be rehashing stuff that we saw in NXT for like a year.
Fair point. All right. Also on Raw, we got a great debut. I don't think this was a debut. I'm going to argue that this was a one-off and we will not see him on Raw again until they return to Manchester, England. I'm talking, of course, about United Kingdom champion Pete Dunne. It seems like the UK championship is showcased on NXT. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of UK championship matches. Then the NXT TakeOver had that great match with Bates
God,
and Dunn.
What a match.
Which was fantastic, which made you go like, hey, I want more of this. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we have 205. Like, I almost don't want it now because of 205 Live.
Right, because you don't think they're going to know what to do with it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think the company won't give it this what it needs.
They'd be better off, honestly, for the UK stuff. They'd be better off doing like a tournament once a month or once every 2 months or something, just to, you know, they have the champion and, you know, there's a champion challenger match and they do a tournament to do the next contender.
Well, and then you could air it over the course of a month the same way they did with the Mae Young tournament.
Right. I mean, they'd almost be, because, I mean, that's the thing. When it comes to the programming from week to week, and we notice the same thing in the main roster, just most things don't have any stakes. And I think that, like, when you have all the time put into the characters that they get on the main roster, all that attention from the writers, you can kind of do that.
Right.
But when you have all these guys on 205 Live, all these guys in the UK division that aren't going to get that time, you have to have the matches mean something instantly, or else there's just no reason to watch.
Also, no tea, no shade. I low-key forgot that Pete Dunne was the UK champion.
How could you remember?
Right. You know, what impetus have they given you?
I feel like he has not defended it on NXT, and Tyler Bate did. And he defended against maybe Neville and maybe one other guy who is not from the UK.
That's interesting.
Well, because
What they were supposed to do was spin off the UK tournament into its own weekly show.
Right.
But at some point, I probably because 205 Live wasn't, you know, doing everything they wanted it to, that those plans got put on hold. So basically, Dunn just goes around and defends it like an indie title, essentially. Like it's putting, like he'll go to Progress and he'll defend it there. He'll go to somewhere else and he'll defend. You know, it's just kind of that kind of title.
He's almost like Oliver. Please, sir. You let me defend my title here. I promise I'll put on a good match. I promise. Please. Please. Match? Consider yourself part of our promotion. Let's talk about some other things that happened.
Sure.
What do you think of WWE's first intergender match in years between Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth?
We'll get to that.
Boy.
I mean, it's fine. It's, I don't... That weird buildup of the, you're not a man, you don't have balls, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't like that.
Right.
It's not like, it doesn't help anyone, because if you're telling me that Ellsworth isn't a man, which is some hardcore toxic masculinity bullshit, and we're going to talk about that in a second. If you're telling me that, then what does it matter that Becky Lynch beat him up?
Right.
That's a great call. Because
good point.
What really bothered me about that match more than anything was how much the crowd was not into it at all. And I think that...
I don't care about Ellsworth.
Well, but that's the thing. I think that people do kind of want to see Ellsworth get beat up. I just think it wasn't done in a way where people were engaged in it. And I don't know what the problem was there. But, like, I worry that might end up getting put on Becky in terms of, like, her effectiveness as a face to connect with the crowd in that scenario. Because I feel like that was served up to her.
She,
you know what I mean?
She gets pops wherever she goes. It's also a UK crowd, so you want to make sure she's out there. And they were singing one of those, like, football songs
were they?
At her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she was over. She was definitely over.
But it was one of those things where, and he kept running away, which I get, that's his thing. I'm happy that they decided to experiment with intergender matches. This wasn't the one, and this build was not the build.
Yeah. A couple of other quick shots. Sasha Banks, not Bayley, being added to the Raw women's team. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit about that match. They haven't sold it to me at all. I want to care. It's not, it doesn't have to do, like, I don't care about that match, and I also don't care about the 5-on-5 guys match, because it's been so much about who's on the teams. But there's no real rhyme or reason to it.
No, like, I know they added Cena and, like, cool. And
but they
also
added it on fucking Twitter.
Yeah, why would they
this
do that? Why would
thing.
They not do
why
that on television?
Doing so
yeah, that's
many
really
things.
Weird.
If you have the opportunity to do these things on television, that's why we watch the television shows, my friends. Like, we're not watching them just for no good reason. And you shouldn't, look, everybody shouldn't have to be me. You shouldn't have to watch the YouTube
and I'm not,
the Twitter.
I won't.
And do all that
I'm not
stuff
doing none of that.
In order to find things out. You shouldn't have to. There's already a million hours of wrestling on some kind of televised device every week. You shouldn't have to also be engaged on what's happening on the socials. And I think that stuff should be supplemental and world building, but it shouldn't be where the plot happens. Does that make sense?
Yes. But I also was thinking during this, the reason I don't like the 5-on-5 guys matches because Randy Orton's in it. and he's actively a barrier to good people being in the match.
Wow.
Like, you know what? He'll show up. He'll get that paycheck.
Yeah. All right.
Randy was like, a paycheck?
Finally, looks like Kane and Braun is officially happening. I just don't care.
Okay.
I do not
I'm
care.
With it. I'm with it. I'm there for it.
Okay.
You there for it?
Yeah, because...
Hoss fight. Hashtag
yeah, I mean,
Hoss fight.
And this
Hoss
is the fight. Thing. I think one of the cool things about professional wrestling is that you have this mechanism by which you can heat characters up. And I feel like they've done that with Kane. They've done it sufficiently for me. We're like, I'm like, okay, Kane's a monster again.
Yeah.
So now I want to see the monsters fight. I know who's going to win, but it's like it'd be different if they hadn't spent the last 2 or 3 weeks having Kane just eat people live on television.
I get that.
It's just interesting they've run out of people to put Braun over.
Well, I do think Kane's going to leave. So I really feel like this is just him getting their last mileage.
Like
out
his
of him.
His kind of buy. I gotta go.
Look, I feel like this is it. You
Glenn
know,
Jacobs,
I gotta go drive around in my tiny car.
Glenn Jacobs has earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants. He has
That's
been
true.
An outstanding hand for almost 20 years, 20 years plus,
mm-hmm.
20 years plus, going back to Isaac Yankem, DDS, and Fake Diesel. So he's earned the right to do whatever he wants. I enjoy him. I've always liked him, even in his match, like the kind of match he does. I'm fine with it. I just It's just more. My frustration is always with WWE booking and not with the talent. Because my goodness, how hard is it to even make it there in the first place? Bless all their hearts.
Bless their hearts.
And their farts.
Bless their hearts and their farts. Welcome
hearts
to
and Hearts and Farts Podcast.
It's the perfect farting podcast.
Loop it.
Please rap over my fart noise.
Of course.
If you have any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time to revisit the Misandry Corner. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
In celeb news this week, the hosts of Lady to Lady took a break from hanging with today's hottest comedians, actors, and writers to sell a sex machine. What'd they do with all that cash?
Rent a party bus to go to Magic Mike Live in Vegas, of course. All of this on the heels of a salacious sizzler session with Home Alone 4-star French Stewart. Want to know what the f*** we're talking about? Tune into Lady to Lady whenever, wherever you listen to podcasts. Can you keep a secret? Neither can we.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined in the booth by...
Al Lublin.
And...
Michael Eagle.
Women's wrestling in WWE has come a long way. It's not unusual to see the female superstars main event an episode of Raw, SmackDown, or pay-per-view. But it wasn't always that way. We all remember a time when the women were divas and the divas were naked. We like to spotlight that sexist bygone era and recast it with men, and we call this segment Misandry Corner.
Misandry Corner.
That's amazing. All right, so in honor of the first like intergender match in I don't know how long because I didn't look this up, I would like to take you back to... What I have to say is like one of my favorite runs in all of WWE. It was one of the things that kept me watching when I first started watching as a kid. And that is the legendary China Intercontinental run where she went up against Jeff Jarrett.
China, you're going to get your rematch, all right. But it's going to be the good housekeeping way. You will understand the role of a woman, because I'm gonna beat you with every household appliance known to woman.
One of the many rumors surrounding this match was that Jeff Jarrett didn't want to do the job to China. Like, he didn't want to lose to a woman. And so in order to lose, he got a big payout. And then just like showed up in WCW, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've heard it different than that. I've heard he held up. It was the IC title match, right?
Yes.
From what I've heard, he didn't hold it hostage for a big payout. What he did was say, I'm not going to do the job. I'm not going to give you this belt until you give me all the money I'm owed for all the work I've did. You know what I mean? Because his thought was that if he did the job and gave the belt back, all the dates he had done, like after that, like that he hadn't gotten paid yet, he wasn't going to get. And so he said he wanted it all right now. That's what I've heard,
right?
But I don't know what's true.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way that I heard that story.
Interesting. Were they going through like a monetary problem at the time?
No. I think it's just the kind of, because first of all, Jeff Jarrett is a, like, he's been a very like over the toply. That's not nothing. That's not a thing.
That's a word.
He's been. He's been very about his business in a way that like a lot of wrestlers aren't, because he came from Memphis and these other territories, and he never apparently really trusted Vince, and he was always on the edge of taking his ball and going home. He had walked out on WWF once before.
Yeah, very famously.
Yeah, so he was always the kind of guy who wasn't gonna let that particular instance or trying to glad hand or trying to leave without burning bridges stop him from getting his money. Or, you know, doing that whatever way he wanted to do that. So it's hard to tell in that sense if where he was coming from was a hold-up situation like the Ultimate Warrior, or if it was just him trying to get his due before he left and thought he wouldn't get it at that point.
Because he had already left before.
Exactly.
Okay, that's good to know. That actually does make me feel much better about that situation. However... with China, that isn't, unfortunately, the only misogynist thing that this happened to her backstage.
Of course not.
In addition to that, China, who did Playboy and was celebrated mm-hmm. for doing Playboy. Eventually, when things had soured between her and her relationship with WWE, she began doing porn. Just straight up, just doing porn, which you're allowed to do, because she has a body and she's allowed to use it however the fuck she wants to. It's just another way of squatting for a living. She was squatting for a living for WWE. You squat for a living when you're fucking dudes. Like, that's how it works. And
sounds like some sport fucking. Like athletic.
I mean, that's kind of what porn is. Porn is athletic sport fucking. It's not like, it's very obvious. It's for all of us to see. There's a lot of training involved. Like, your body has to be able to do that for a few hours. Like, it's sport fucking.
Some people don't want to do the job.
Some people don't want to do the job. So aside from doing regular porn, there was a very famous porn where she did Queen of the Ring.
Oh, boy.
Which was a porn where she, as herself.
She played herself in
she
it?
She played herself.
Okay.
It opens with her having sex with Stephanie and Vince McMahon.
Wow.
And whoa. They are not fake names.
Wow.
She says, you know, you stole my man, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Like, it was not, it was very what it was.
Based on true events.
Based on true events. It was a Law and Order of porn.
Gong, gong.
Except no names were changed.
Wow.
Maybe two names were changed. Most names are not changed.
Not the important ones, it doesn't seem like.
It was Vincent L. McMahon. That's the difference.
So talk has obviously been around whether or not she should get into the Hall of Fame. He was like, you know, Triple H was like, you know, I don't know if he necessarily said like I can't, but in so much as he was like it would be weird if my kids went into a search engine to look that up.
Why are your kids looking up porn anyway? Why don't you just stop it right there?
Because
why don't
they're you kids.
Just put on your safe search or something. Like you can't keep them out of. Do you know how much fucking written fan fiction there is about him? They're going to find that, too.
Listen, it seems like the discussion has shifted from who's China to not right now. But I do feel like not right now means never.
And it's one of those things where I used to say, okay, well, I get it because Queen of the Ring is, I get it. Like, you know, you're having someone fuck the boss and the boss's daughter and blah, blah, blah. But the more that I've thought about it kind of since and as things have gone on, I'm like, how many times have people used wherever they're at, whatever mediums they are at, to make fun of WWE or WWE product? And they still can be welcomed back or welcomed back around.
I think Sunny, even before she did the porn, she wrote her book, right? And her mm-hmm. whole book was about how she was fucking Shawn Michaels and he was married. And it was a whole bunch of embarrassing shit in there about him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some clear double standard here for sure.
Right. And I'm still, it's one of those things where, like, you try to put your brain around it, but it's like you can't. She was a woman IC champion.
Right.
How is she not going to go into the Hall of Fame?
I mean, she was one of the most over wrestlers in an era when the people who were over were huge.
Yes.
She was neck and neck with, like, Rock and Austin, like, right there with them. You know what
yep.
I mean? Like, I think it's impossible to overlook her contributions to that era. She was a huge icon and crossed over, like, outside of wrestling even.
Yep.
I don't know.
And it's interesting if you drew a graph of her career in terms of how over she is, and that line's going up, up, up. And then you look at her personal life, and that's going down, down, down. Because at the same time that she's achieving her greatest fame and her greatest success, her long-term partner...
Who got her into the business of wrestling.
Who wow. got her into the business of wrestling, now is in love with the boss's daughter.
Right.
And is no longer with her. And then, even after they break up, she's still with the company for over a year. I would love to see an alternate future where somehow that personal stuff is somehow it is settled or it goes off differently. Like, I don't know that breaking up Triple H or Stephanie does it, but if
just
she
like maybe
left
treated with more respect or.
Yeah, or if she was like, Triple H, I'm leaving you, and then he falls in love. Like, some way where it played out that she could still be in that company and not be haunted. Like, how difficult would that be for her to be there? I wouldn't last a day.
Yeah.
I would have been out. And she stayed and was a role model to little girls and to women.
Because the other arc, and the arcs you're explaining, so yeah, her popularity is going up, her personal life's going down. Also, you know, Stephanie McMahon is coming into power. Like, she was already boss's daughter, but now she's an executive and she's gaining more responsibility and more of a role in the company. So, yeah, I mean, the walls had to be closing in around her.
And you do see these things happen all the time where wrestlers kind of, everyone's on the road, everyone's dating. They're all dating each other. They're all dating each other. And then when one couple breaks up, they get with someone else who's on the roster, because that's just how it works. Like, and very rarely do you see people, and it could be, and part of it, I do think it's a havesy-hazy thing where it's, part of it is because she's a woman, part of it is because the dispute so heavily involved the boss's daughter. But again, she did wind up getting really over while all of this was happening, but it became harder for her to kind of rejoin the fold.
She was over. She
super was over.
It wasn't like she was something, some directive or something they decided they wanted equality and they were going to push her down her throats. No, she got over.
This was not one of those eras where they were like, oh, we should actually start thinking about different demographics. Right. This was just what worked, and that was it.
And she made it happen. Worked. She lobbied to get more time. She lobbied to wrestle dudes, and she was at it and on it and sharpened her skills and got better and better to the point where she could hang on her own, like outside of one of the most popular factions that ever existed in WWE. She made her own name.
And thankfully, she had some allies like Mick Foley who were like, I'll sell for her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now, did Eddie put her over too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then they worked together with the Mamacita angle.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or even with
of.
That, she still had so much of the power in that relationship.
Yeah.
And he was so mega over at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're just talking about how awesome. Because normally in this segment, I flip it and I'm like, how do you do this with a dude? I'm like, there is no way.
You can't. She got him over, by the way. I think she helped get him over.
Because he wasn't there yet. He was still kind of post-radicals, floundering.
Yeah.
And they partnered him with her. And
night
she got
after
him
WrestleMania.
Over. Yeah. She got him over.
Rest in peace, China. One of these days, Hall of Fame. I'm never going to stop saying it.
Let me throw something out there. Go to our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. Let's start a China appreciation thread that is non-adult film based.
Please.
Where we talk about our favorite. I mean, she had a run from what, 97 to 2001?
Mm-hmm.
That's
even
4
her
years.
And people talk about her run in TNA. It was fun.
Favorite China moments in the ring.
Yes.
And in WWE or in TNA, your favorite China moments. Let's hear about them. Put them on the group.
Thank you. And if you've got any other thoughts on the misogynistic past of wrestling, you can also let us know about those on the same group at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or tightsfights on Twitter. And when we come back, it's time for happy stuff. It's time for 3 things we love from wrestling. It's time for the 3 count up next on Tights and Fights.
I love forget-me-nots.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Jordan.
And we've been doing Jordan Jesse Go for almost 10 years now.
And it's not gotten any easier to describe.
So we asked our fans to do it for us.
Jordan Jesse Go is a weekly conversation with
2 best pals,
2 hilarious friends,
the hilarious smart kids,
talking about hilarious stuff that happens to them,
mostly really stupid stuff,
awkward anecdotes, insane tangents, heartfelt stuff.
It's like being thrown in the middle of a hilarious conversation between you and your best pals.
It's a show that makes me laugh every week, which is pretty rare and wonderful.
It might be the best thing on the internet.
One of the funniest things you will hear.
And it's the best part of my week.
And has kept me company for the past 7 years through all sorts of life. I love those guys.
That's Jordan Jesse Go, the comedy podcast that's been named Best of iTunes.
Every Monday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite podcasting software.
I'll hug you and kiss you and love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Rappaport
and
Michael Eagle.
Every week, we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling
joy
with you.
Joy
and pain.
Sunshine.
What else?
And rain.
Keep it going.
Give it to me, Rob Bass.
Yeah. Boo, 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 boo. This is not Rob Bass. It is the 3 count. How could you? Well, geez. I get it. We got to move it along. I was about to get there. Fine, Danielle. What are you going to put over?
So I am putting over, other than obviously Nia Jax being adorable in the ring when they showed her, like, the Toad Steve's thing underneath.
You know, she's not like most girls.
I've heard that. I also want to put over Corey Graves dunking all over Pierce Morgan today.
Oh, I didn't see that.
On Twitter, which is amazing. As I've said, I watch and see everything. So because of a comment that Corey Graves made, I think it was on Raw or something.
Yes.
Pierce Morgan tweeted him, "You're the guy who couldn't make it as a wrestler, so turn to Bren's bad commentary, right, Corey Graves?" And Corey tweeted back, "I'm sorry, I meant no disrespect. I had no idea who you were. I simply Googled most hated man in England." Welcome to relevance, though. And then Pierce, who clearly Googled WWE or had someone on his staff tell him what it was, wrote, "Mate, I have 5.8 million more followers than you. When it comes to relevance, I'm John Cena and you're Heath Slater."
Oh, my God.
Someone told
gross.
Him.
Wow.
Gross. So then Corey put, this is my favorite, and that's kind of where it ends. "I owe you an apology. I actually do like your carpool karaoke show." So that was just like a really fun thing, because Pierce Morgan fucking sucks and Corey Graves is the shit. It's just kind of a nice, it's also a nice little UKE way to kind of round that out. I believe that someone tweeted at him. I don't know if it was Corey. I can't find it. It might have been deleted. But someone tweeted like, "Hey, remember when we sent you back to England? Remember when you came to the U.S. and we ain't want you?" Or something like that.
Good dunk, Corey Graves.
Yikes.
Mike?
I'm putting over myself in this video I put out that how wonderful Lublin is in this video. The song's called Happy Wasteland Day. And the video came out today. And we get to... show somebody get murdered who may or may not be representing certain political forces, and there's a lot of fire, and that's it. And that's
it. Is a very good video. You should watch
thank
it.
You. I think it's great. I think y'all should watch it. And two-thirds of the crew is in it. So
have I said on the show yet how great your new album
is? Yes, you have. Thank you.
I just want to say again.
Thank you so much. Again.
Somebody, like, when you want to listen, like, sit down and actually listen to it all the way through. Here's some of the songs.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to do that.
It's normal now. They said it's normal. It's normal. It's normal now. Everybody get involved. It's holiday in the wasteland. Quit tripping, y'all. It's holiday in the wasteland.
Yeah. When the Kenyans that garbage person, I might want to lay down and die. Power down on my darkest earth.
That was great.
Oh, so good. Oh, here's some fun inside info about that shoot.
Ooh,
it was out in Lancaster, California, and it was 900 degrees.
It was so goddamn hot.
It was 900 degrees.
Oh, my Jesus.
It was unbelievable. Like, everybody did a great, like, the crew did a great job. Mike was great.
It was full Mad Max experience.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'd never been in a junkyard before. Here's something I can tell you about it. Number one, really cool. Number two, the dirt will be in you for weeks.
Yeah. I was coughing in it out for a while. Yeah.
Like, you wash, and you're like, I got it all. And then the next day, you're like cleaning out the corner of your eye, and then you look at your finger, is brown.
Oh, buddy.
But well worth it. Well worth it.
Good.
And it's awesome.
It was great.
Check out the video now. Please. For goodness sakes, what is wrong with you? All right, I'm going to put over something that happened on TV, on Raw. I just love heels getting a match over, and nobody gets a match over like The Miz. Nobody beats The Miz. Here he is, putting over his match with Baron Corbin, and actually making me care about it a little bit.
I'll tell you who's not my daddy, Baron Corbin, after Survivor Series.
Didn't even get his name right.
Let me tell you something, Baron. When I speak from the heart. But when you speak, you give me who's your daddy lines. This isn't the independent wrestling leagues. This isn't NXT. This isn't SmackDown. This is the major leagues. And when you have a pitcher on the mound throwing 110 miles an hour, you better be ready to step up to the plate.
Great heel work. Great heel work. I'm excited to see Miz versus the Tummy. You sold me. There you go. That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast of the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Mike Eagle and Daniel Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything you guys want to put out there right now? Anything to promote?
I already did myself.
You promoted your video. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be in Seattle in December, you can go to PodCon. I'm going to be there.
Ooh.
Representing Tights and Fights, and we got this. It's going to be tons of podcasters there, tons of fun stuff to do. Use the code PodConHal and get 10% off your tickets at PodCon.com. Do it now. I said so many things that sounded like, aw, PodCon.com.
So if you are in L.A. on Monday the 13th, I am doing a benefit show at Nerd Melt Showdown. I believe that's at like 7 for Trans Lifeline. You should come down. There's a lot of really good performers on there. Everybody's super funny.
Super funny.
Super funny. Super and then funny. I think on Friday I'm going to be on SJU, just regular old Screen Junkies. And that's the live morning show. It's usually Fan Fridays where we like answer questions from fans and stuff. I think that's like around 11. I'll tweet it out. I feel like that's a thing that's happening.
All right. Our producer is Mulatto Heat Julian Burrell.
Every time. I can't handle it. Every time.
He always comes up with the good ones. The fidget spinner. Do you do fidget spinners anymore, Julian? Or are they dead? Are they cool anymore?
I lost mine, actually.
Oh, boy.
I look at you as a young person in the know. Should I be using a fidget spinner anymore? The answer is no, and that's why I still use it. If you lost it, young man, that means you don't really care about it, doesn't it? Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Reviews, 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 people. That's how we get that merch that you want. You want it? Go get it. Leave a review. Thank you to all of the Maximum Fun members who have selected to have part of their monthly donation go to our show and keep the lights on for us. We really appreciate it. And as we grow and grow, there'll be a chance for you new listeners to get involved. So stay tuned. We'll be back next week for more. You guessed it.
I like how you sang, Hal. I like how you sang.
Thank you.
It's good.
Thank you. You like my singing?
I like how singing.
You like my singing? We'll be back next week with more wrestling. You guessed it.
That's fantastic.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.